Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP for the 27th of July. I'm your host, Paul White. Got a few announcements to make today real quick. We are going to get into the text. There's some things I really want to say about verse 5 in 1 Corinthians 5. But quickly, we have our North Georgia once per Sunday monthly meeting. I'm sorry, I didn't say that right. Once per month Sunday meeting. Tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Eastern Time at the Sterling on the Lake Clubhouse in Flowery Branch, Georgia. We meet every Tuesday night at the theater at the clubhouse, and we do it once a month. So tomorrow, the 28th of July, 5 o'clock, come be with us. If you are in the North Georgia area, we would love to be with you. Next weekend, we are coming to Southern California. I will be in two cities on August 3rd and August 4th. August 3rd, we will hold a meeting in Victorville, California. This is the home of our good friends, Dave and Marlene Billings. They have hosted us many times. In fact, we used to do a monthly meeting in their home when we were living in California, and we're going to go back and meet with all of our good California friends in the home of David and Marlene Billings. They are at 13647 Dean Place in Victorville, and they welcome all of you. 6 p.m. Pacific time next Saturday night, August 3rd. On August the 4th, I will be preaching in a church Sunday morning at New Beginning Christian Center in Hesperia, California. That is at 10:15 a.m. Pacific time. The church is located at 16039, that's 16039 Walnut Street in Hesperia, California, 92345. New Beginning Christian Center, High Desert, Pastor Mark Angel. We've ministered for Pastor Mark when his church was in Victorville. They have since moved. I've not been with them in their new building. Very excited about this one. Next Sunday morning in California. Come see us if you can. So we'll be in Georgia, we'll be in California. That's over the next two weekends. And then we are heading to Northeast Arkansas at the end of August. We have some other dates sprinkled here and there. I'll tell you about those in the coming weeks. You can always keep up with our schedule at paulwhiteministries.com/schedule. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we arrive in the fifth verse. We've actually been in 5 for a while now. We've done the overview, the context. I've given you some different opinions of interpretation of this chapter. One of the things that I like to do is lay all of these alternate points of view out there and let you begin to be a true Bible student that goes after these things, that looks for these things where you can find or see what you can find as led by the Holy Spirit. This fifth verse, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit might be saved the day of the Lord Jesus, has had a lot of interpretation over the years, as you can imagine. This is dealing with the incestuous man who sleeping with his father's wife, his stepmom. And the Corinthian church doesn't seem to be dealing with it. Paul acts like they're arrogant. The indication there could be that they're overlooking it or that they don't think it's a big deal, but that they're not mourning the way he thinks they should. They're not taking it with the seriousness he thinks they should. He's made a judgment call from a distance about what they ought to do. And he makes this interesting statement about delivering him over to Satan. This is not the only time Paul does this. He also does it in his letter to Timothy when he talks about Hymenaeus and delivering him over to Satan. Let me give you what has been a fairly common interpretation of this. And I want to say before I say this that this is one of those interpretations that though I share it with you, I don't necessarily agree with, okay? It's been fairly common throughout commentary history on this text for commentators to state that the apostles had a special power to inflict disease or death for sin. And the starting block for this is the famous Ananias and Sapphira passage of Acts 5. And although I do believe that there is a possible alternate in understanding of the Ananias and Sapphira passage, and I've even explored it, that what we could be saying in Acts 5 is that Peter goes too far and then is reined in by the Holy Spirit, like, watch how you use this power. That's a possibility. I won't say I'm all in on it, but I will say that there is indication there. But I just struggle with this idea that the early church was inflicting disease and death on people because of sin or disagreement. I don't think that line, to me, that doesn't line up with the heartbeat of the new covenant. It doesn't, it's not what Jesus did. And I struggle with anything that we put into the lives and the mouths and the talents of the apostles that Jesus didn't do. Now, I know the counter argument to that would be yes, but Jesus had the power to do it. He just didn't because he was listening to the Father correctly. The early church has the same power, but maybe incorrectly listens. And I'm more comfortable with that argument than I am that they went about putting diseases and punishment, sort of corporal punishment on people for sin. I think that it makes more sense that what Paul is saying when he says deliver him over to Satan is that the early church had, and this I can line up with, a view of the kingdoms of this world, of the kingdom dynamic as being the kingdom of this world or the kingdom of the accuser, the ha-satan of the Old Testament, the Satan, and then the kingdom of God. And they didn't see any other kingdom. I mean, everything else was in the natural, but in the supernatural, the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. And so references to delivering people over to Satan seem to make more sense to be saying, deliver them over to the system of this world and let the system of this world do what it will do because it will eventually destroy you. But that would be better for this man because his spirit is saved. Now, this lines up to me a little more with the way the Hebrews wrote and with the way they understood. Listen to Psalms. And sometimes what you can do is go back into the Old Testament. In fact, a lot of times you go back to the Old Testament, find out how a Hebrew audience would have understood terminology, and that will help you to understand what they might be saying in the New Testament. So listen to Psalms 109:6. Set a wicked man over him and let an accuser stand at his right hand. The Hebrew there is, let a Satan stand at his right hand. When he's judged, let him be found guilty. This is a plea for judgment against false accusers. And the judgment against another human being here is let an accuser stand over him. So it seems that the Hebrew vernacular is, for those who are in blatant error, we hand them over to the accuser. That seems to be different than people who have been caught up in sin versus people who walk voluntarily into sin. Take, for instance, the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery. I just started this last Tuesday night in our Tuesday night Bible study, and we're going to continue it this next Tuesday night. But in that story, she's accused. Jesus says, woman, where are your accusers? She says, Lord, there are none. Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. There's a close connection there between accusation and condemnation. Where are your accusers? Neither do I condemn you, which tells us that accusers condemn. And Jesus releases this woman who was caught in the act of adultery by challenging her to go and sin no more. He doesn't accuse her. The Hebrew idea of someone who is perpetually sinning or perpetually falsely accusing you is to hand them over to an accuser. And if Jesus turns on the woman and hands her over to the accusers, he's really living up to the nature of the law. But by injecting, neither do I condemn thee, he injects the spirit of grace and compassion and releases her from the accuser. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 5, is encouraging the Corinthian church to hand the man over to the accuser. So it would seem, when you couple it with his description of verse 8, that the man has malice and wickedness, that the man is not in a repentant position like the woman caught in the act of adultery. Instead, he's in a rebellious position, and therefore all that's left is to hand him over to Satan. That seems to me to be where what Paul is doing with this. We'll continue our work in this chapter tomorrow, and I'll see you then. God bless.